Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, November the 27th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Lewis Sun from FinManiacs.com as we are going to have a bit of a venting session. We're both diehard fans of this team. We each have our own websites, so we're going to vent and just sort of get it all off our chest, because this past Sunday's loss to the Indianapolis Colts, that's a tough loss. That's as bad a loss as this organization has had in God knows how many years, up by 10 points in the fourth quarter in a big game in late November. Playoffs really are on the line. It's a de facto playoff game. You got the lead on the road late in the game, and you give it away. You absolutely give it away, and you spit it up. And you know, the loss, for all intents and purposes, ends the 2018 Miami Dolphins season. They're not going to make the playoffs as the sixth seed. It's just not realistic to think they will. And this franchise now is at a crossroads. You're with year three of head coach Adam Gase, and there's a lot of questions about his future. You have a quarterback who's been in Miami since 2012 who played well this past Sunday. This loss isn't on Ryan Tannehill. He played well, you know. But it was a typical Ryan Tannehill game, and he's been in Miami since 2012. And, you know, if you're going to shake things up in this organization, which they do have to shake things up, you know, quarterback's on the table of one of the areas you might have to shake up here. So we talk about that, and we just vent about a variety of things. And, you know, as a fan of this team, when you go up to New England and lose 37-3, or when you go and play the Ravens, and the Ravens, for like the 800th time, beat you 44-10. Or when you go play Houston, and Houston runs over you once again like they always do, and they beat you in a blowout. Those losses you can sort of accept. We're accustomed to it. You can sort of shrug it off and move on. But when you got games like the Cincinnati game back, I think the first week of October, October 4th, and this game here against the Colts, where you have double digit leads on the road against teams that are equal to you at best. The Colts have a great offense with Luck, who's having a great year. Their defense is nothing special. The Bengals are just, they're a team very similar to Miami. They're good, not great, nothing special. And when you blow games like that, you know, it's frustrating. And the Miami Dolphins didn't just blow one of those games this year. They blew two of those games. And the one this past Sunday really will have ramifications that will go through this franchise for the next few months, if not longer. You can't have a lot of losses like this. Adam Gase, you know, the seat is now hot. I thought before the seat might have been warm. He might have been safe. It might have been warm. Now it's red hot because his job's on the line here. And how these last five games now play out will determine a lot when it comes to his future. It's just so frustrating as a fan that that loss on Sunday. I mean, it really is. To get over that loss is going to take a while, and we will see how it all shakes out. Before I get to Lewis, though, in our venting session, one thing I want to talk about is there's one bit of news I want to talk about. And if you think the Miami Dolphins couldn't be hit with any more injuries, well, boy, you were mistaken. So coming out of Sunday's game against the Colts, two players who are not looking good for this upcoming week and maybe longer are wide receiver Danny Amendola and center Travis Swanson. Per Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, I'm getting this from his article, so I want to give him credit there. Head coach Adam Gase said Monday that neither Amendola nor center Travis Swanson is in great shape right now. And D. decisions on their status won't be known until late in the week at the earliest. Adam Gase went on to say they probably won't practice most of the week. Try to give them a shot on Friday and see what they can do and how they feel. I won't really know anything until we get to the weekend. So it's looking like Swanson and Amendola are going to sit out till Friday. They'll see if they can go Friday. If they can practice Friday, there's a chance they'll play. If not, then they're going to have to look to other alternatives. Devontae Parker, another tidbit from this Barry Jackson article. Devontae Parker played 24 offensive snaps against the Colts. And per Adam Gase, his previously injured shoulder wasn't the reason for limited playing time. So read into that what you will. To me, it's just another nail in the coffin of Devontae Parker's final few games here with the Dolphins. I mean, the wide receivers are banged up already. No Grant, no Wilson. Amendola goes down pretty early in that game. And Devontae Parker, you know, he's playing. And per Adam Gase, it's not because he's not on the field because of the injured shoulder. So read into that what you will. But nothing surprises me anymore with Devontae Parker. These last five games, to me, what we're looking at here is, will the Miami Dolphins show up and play hard for Adam Gase? And will we see continued development out of the young players? That's what I'm looking at from these final five games, because they're not making the playoffs. So what do you want to see? You want to see guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who has been magnificent all year, continue to be magnificent. You want to see an outside linebacker like Jerome Baker continue to grow and improve in that role of outside linebacker, which he has done a phenomenal job for a third-round pick, year one rookie thrown in as a starter. He's been great. So you want to see that. And you want to see some of the other guys like Gesicki, who hasn't been great this year. Maybe, you know, get something going here these final five games. You want to see someone like Smythe, who did have a catch this past week, continue to maybe become involved in the offense more. You want to see the young guys grow. And that's what I'm looking for these final five games. The two things I'm looking for is, A, will this team play hard for Adam Gase in meaningless games? Or will they quit on him? I want to see if they'll play hard. And the other thing is, you want to see continued development out of the young guys. And young guys, I'm talking first and second year guys. That includes Charles Harris, Raekwon McMillan, Devon Godchow. You know, some of these guys, especially Devon Godchow, Baker, Fitzpatrick, you know, they've had a great start to their young NFL careers, and you want them to continue to grow here in these final five games. And for some of these other guys who have come out of the gate here a little bit slow, maybe they can get something going here the final five games that they can carry over into 2019. So that's what I'm looking at with these final five games. So right now I'm going to take a quick break, and after the break I'll be joined by Lewis Sung from FinManiacs.com, as we have a bit of a venting session as two diehard fans of the Miami Dolphins who have our own Miami Dolphins website. We'll just vent and get a bunch of stuff off our chest, and because sometimes you just need to get stuff off your chest as a fan of this team. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Lewis Sung from FinManiacs.com. Lewis, how are you doing today?
A little better than yesterday. Time heals wounds, you know?
Yes, it does. Each day that goes by here, this loss seems further away, but this one actually hurts a little bit. Before we start talking about the Miami Dolphins in the game from Sunday, why don't you tell people a little bit about your website, FinManiacs, and where they can follow you on social media as well.
Oh, well, like I said, like my website, it's like Dolphins Talk too, but what we do is like we like to pride ourselves on like covering like all the other stuff that goes on with the team too, not just the football sides of it. So I go to the community events and I see what they do, and it is nice to be able to see the more human side of organizations, and it does give you a little bit of a deeper appreciation for them, a little bit, just a little bit. Because, you know, stuff like yesterday makes you a little more upset. But anyway, so yeah, we do that. And we have our own podcast, too. And we have all the news and stuff. And we're trying to keep up on top of that. So my social media, you can find me at Louis D. Sung, LuisDSung. And, of course, at FinManiacs. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Let's go. Yep. Let's go before I lose all my steam here.
No. But you did mention something there about the community work that they do, the Miami Dolphins. They do a ton of community work, and they do a lot of great work in the community. And when you do see that side of it, you see it a lot more than me because you actually live down there. I don't. I have seen some of it, though. You just see these people as people and not guys who, you know, dropped a pass on Sunday or turned over a ball. And you see the human side of it from them, and you also see the human side of it from the organization that really does a lot of great work in the South Florida area.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. No doubt. Again, you see the human side of it, and it kind of makes you a little bit more forgiving, and you kind of give the perspective of like, okay, so these guys are not just athletes that you scream at on the TV. They're also people who actually care and have their own, I don't want to say agenda because agenda is a negative word, but it's
I was like, don't values.
Yes. There you go. Thank you.
Yes, no problem. Yeah, no, it's true, because when you do see that side of it, you do realize it's just a game at the end of the day, and you can't – I mean, yes, we're going to talk about some things. Let's get right into it. Talking about the game from this past Sunday against Indianapolis, that's a tough game. I said after the game here on our post-game wrap-up show, that might be one of the toughest losses as a fan that we've seen probably in, I don't know how many years, but a long while. I thought the Cincinnati loss back – that first week of October, that was tough. That was really tough. This game might actually top that, because up by 10 points, 10 minutes to go, and you just gave it away. You gave it away.
And that's been the MO for the Dolphins for quite some time now. I think we can definitely say it's before Gase even showed up. It's been something going on with the Philbin era, and somewhat, not so much with the Sperano era, but a little bit more. It just kind of like gone into this downward spiral where everything seems to be getting worse and worse, but the team's record never actually seems to follow the spiral.
Yes, they're always stuck in that, you know, probably since Cameron, that one awful year. They're stuck, you know, in that, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins. Every now and then you get a crazy year like 2016 where, as a fan, you get the hope, you get the joy, oh my God, we finally turned the corner, but then it seems like next year you just go right back to where you have been for the majority of the past 20 years or so. And that loss, let's get into it. The head coach, Adam Gase, taking a lot of heat here for the play calling. They're late in the game, up by 10. He's passing the ball, not really working much clock. Let's talk about that drive specifically first before he gets to the last drive, which might have been even worse. what did you think about the play calling there?
I'm going to disagree with you and say no. The drive we're about to talk about is a lot worse than the last one that he did.
Just because
it was so – this is my beef with Adam Gase, and I had to write that story that I wrote, and suddenly I'm getting a lot more attention than I used to. But anyway, I wrote the story on Gase because up until this point I had been the one saying that we need to be patient with Gase, that we need to give Gase time because this is the thing. Gase has – would you agree with me when I say he has leadership traits?
Yes, absolutely. He's a total alpha. He is the man of the room. Absolutely.
Yes, so he has these things that have him showing qualities of being a good head coach. We always seem to be getting stuck in that little area where it's like we're the team that that coaches come to cut their teeth on. We're the team that the coaches get their little their rookie head coach feet wet, and then they leave and become great elsewhere. Like, everybody expects Dan Campbell, still to this day, they expect Campbell to one day get a head coaching job. And a lot of people are saying, no, eventually he'll get a job and he's going to be good. Oh, joy. So we let him go. And now the same thing with Adam Gase. And I've been saying that he's got all the leadership skills. He does have plenty of head coaching qualities, which we're going to miss out on because he will not humble himself and look at himself in the mirror. People have been telling me that Adam Gase, he's already getting humbled. I mean, every week he loses. No, that's not the same thing. He's getting embarrassed. Embarrassment does not lead you to look in the mirror. Embarrassment just makes you double down on what you're doing and prove that it works. Being humbled means you take a step back and realize, I'm part of the problem here. I need to do something different. Yeah, and that's the type of thing that doesn't happen until you're forced to take a step back by getting handed your walking papers. And that is the inevitable conclusion that I see, regardless of whether Gase is next year or not. That's just what I see. He's still being stubborn. He's still defending his move. You have a 7-point lead. There's only 8 or so minutes left. You've been running the ball effectively all game long. And your explanation for why you decided to throw the football instead was because, oh, the defense was showing that they wanted us to pass the ball because they were crowding the line and they were making it so that you couldn't run the ball. So you do exactly what defense wants you to do.
Yeah.
Where does the sense come in there? So he throws the ball twice. One pass was missed by Tannehill, and I all these people are pinning this game on Tannehill. Oh, yeah, he played way better than I expected him to be perfectly honest, coming back from that shoulder injury, but that's besides the point. He's been playing well pretty much all game, and he made the one miss on the second down, and apparently that's the reason everything crashed and burned. Third and 10, he decides to run the ball. You were throwing it before. Now you don't want to throw it because that would actually get you a first down.
Yep.
So, nope, that didn't work. Punt it away. Give the ball back to Andrew Luck. Now the game is tied. And if it seems like I'm skipping sequence here because
you're fine.
The show, it's like you can't talk about the drive separately. You have to talk about them together because it's just so painfully connected. Because now you see Gase's unwillingness to follow conventional wisdom. He tries so hard to be sneaky, to do the unexpected, and it's reached the point where now teams expect him to do the unexpected. What would a normal coach do in the situation? Gase is going to do the opposite, defend that. So now you're backed up at your own 6. You need points now, because otherwise you know the defense is going to let Andrew Luck score again. And we'll talk about that in a minute anyway, but that's the point again. So you need points. You need to be aggressive. He runs the ball on first down. He throws a screen pass, which he loves so much, and never works unless Jakeem Grant's catching the ball. The only time it works is when Jakeem Grant's catching the ball. But, oh, wait, he's gone for the season with that Achilles thing. So that's not going to work anymore. So you throw the screen on second down. It goes nowhere. Third down. You run the ball again.
That's the one that's killer. That's the, because he is the one who's put all his eggs in Ryan Tannehill for 3 years. This, as a franchise, they have put all their eggs in the Ryan Tannehill basket since 2012, to the point where they have ignored that position every draft. They do nothing. We have Tannehill. He's our guy. And you get a situation like this where they even say, well, we're not sure about Ryan yet. We want to see more. You have a situation where you're backed up, fourth quarter, tie game, big game, real big game. You're backed up. You got, you know, let's just go to 3rd and 10. Forget the first two plays. Let's go to 3rd and 10. This is a chance where you give the ball to your guy that we've been hearing since 2012 is our guy. And since he's been here, Adam Gase, he's my guy. And you turn and hand it off. That makes this is what you want to see. What does he do in big moments and big spots? And you turn and hand it off. That's what is so frustrating, because I'm like you. I said it on this podcast right after the game against the Packers, when Miami was so injured and they had nobody out there. I go, you know what? The fact they got 5 wins with all these injuries, God bless him. He's not a perfect head coach, but the fact he's got them to 5 wins, Gase, he should be here in 2019. In fact, if they want to give him a short extension, I wouldn't even be upset with that, because he's the guy. I'm not one of those guys who want to just turn over the head coach every 3 years or so. But I'm like, you know what? He didn't have his guy last year. It was Matt Moore, Jay Cutler. This year, it's been a mess with all his injuries. Keep him. But when you see stuff like this yesterday, it's tough to defend him. And then in the post-game press conference, the way he's talking to the media again, you know what? He's not helping his cause any, because it was
no.
It was like 3 weeks ago where he's yelling at Armando Salguero, who asked a very fair question. And it was fair, and it was actually right. And he's talking down him like, you don't know what the hell you're talking. No, Adam, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, okay? And then yesterday, he's swearing up a storm for some reason, which he's never done before. And it's like, this guy doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. He is so arrogant.
He's angry, and he's embarrassed. He is not humbled.
Yep. Well, he's going to be humbled soon, because when he told Armando however many weeks ago that was now, he goes, all this with you is results. I'm sitting here screaming on this show, what job did you think you signed up for? It's the NFL. It's all based on results. And at the end of the year, you will have to sit across a table from the owner who's going to ask you why the results weren't good enough. So,
well, that's only 99% true. Cincinnati's not based on results.
Well, true. That is true, because they're about to hire Hugh Jackson as their next head coach, it sounds like, which, God bless him. God bless
him.
Time
to give Marvin Lewis his 20-year extension.
Exactly. God bless all of them up there in Cincinnati. But, yeah, and the other thing about that game is you look at that game, and, you know, at the end of the game, 3rd and 10, you turn and hand off. Odds are you're not going to get a first down there, which you don't. It means you're punting from your end zone, which means even if Hack, you know, kills the ball, they're pretty much starting off near midfield, which means you get one first down, and they're in field goal range, essentially. The logic behind that makes zero sense, at least if you're going to
go down. It made zero sense. But do you know what what's crazy? Is that we were one down away from his decision being justified. Can you imagine that?
I know. It drives you nuts watching this game. And you're right, too, about Tannehill. Tannehill wasn't the problem yesterday.
He did some really cool stuff, man. Like that one shot to Carew, I was impressed. That was amazing. Because, like, just do that more. Take a shot. Let him try.
You got tall wide receivers. Well, sometimes if he's on the field, Parker. But when he is on the field, he's your example. Just throw it up there and let's see if he can make a play. Most times he might not, but you got nothing to lose sometimes. And that was a spot where you got nothing to lose. Throw it up there. Let's see what happens. But he was not the fault of this game yesterday. And this fan base of the Dolphins is almost like politics. It's so split on him, Tannehill, that you know, either love him or hate him, and nothing's going to change anybody's mind. And I feel like the people in the middle, which you seem like you're somebody who's in the middle like me.
I'm more on the support Tannehill side, but it's like I'm not going to stand here and say he's an elite quarterback. But tell you this, as soon as he goes somewhere else, he's going to ball out, because that's just how it works.
I know that. And I was saying with Tom here from our website on the post-game wrap-up show, at the end of this year, I don't know if he's going to stay or go, if he would even take a pay cut. If I'm him, I wouldn't take a pay cut, because if he's on the open market, he will get paid by the Giants. He'll get paid by the Raiders. He'll get paid by the Redskins. He'll get paid by Tampa Bay. He'll get paid by Jacksonville. One of those five teams right there will pay him $20 million plus a year. So why would he take a pay cut to stay in Miami? It makes no sense. So he's either will be here being paid his full rate, or he's going to be gone. And as a fan, it's tough. On some level, I would like to see them start over, because I don't think long-term he's the answer. And it's sort of putting off the inevitable, which I think it is. But if he stayed, you know, it's going to be a toxic environment next year if he's here with Adam Gase. I mean, you're going to have an empty stadium, because these fans are going to turn on the head coach and him, fair or not with him. They will turn on him, and it's going to be a toxic environment in 2019 if those two guys are back, I think.
When I do my show, one of the biggest themes that my co-host Chad, he talks about all the time, he wants so badly to get his hands on one of the Harbaugh brothers. He doesn't care which, either John or Jim, somebody, because he makes, I love Chad, but it almost feels like bringing in a Harbaugh is going to fix everything. And I'm just convinced, like, no, I don't know what it's going to fix. I don't even know if Harbaugh wants the job. In fact, I would go as far to say that, like, he had said something about, well, they have Michigan ties. Maybe Jim can put in good word for John to say, hey, John, you know, my guy, Steve Ross, who brought me here to Michigan, he's a real cool guy. Why don't you go take the Dolphins job? I would go as far to say that Jim will tell John, you stay the heck away from Miami because they will ruin you. Because that's how it works.
I know.
And it's sad that we can get to the emotionally this point where we can just look at something and say it's going to go wrong because Miami. You don't even have an explanation anymore. You just say the explanation is Miami. That is the explanation.
Yep. Yeah. And look, it's a tough division still. As long as Tom Brady, which, you know, one of these years you figure he has to retire, but it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. So why would you want to go to the AFC East? You'd have to be suicidal to go there as long as that head coach and their quarterback's there. It's like, why even bother? Why even look at that spot?
As long as Dante Scarnecchia is still alive, as long as he's alive, until they bury that man, Brady's going to play because he has a wall in front of him no matter what.
That's true.
And if you let him get sacked, you're fired. That's how it works.
Yeah, and let's talk about let's just assume that next year head coach Adam Gase is back, just for the sake of this argument. He comes back, he's going to be on the hot seat. Regardless, if he's back, he's on the hot seat. There's no way around that. But say he wants to move on from Matt Burke. What coordinator in their right mind of any quality would want to come to Miami and work with a coach who's on the hot seat? Trying to replace Matt Burke is going to be next to impossible because if he's here, Adam Gase, because who's going to want to work for him? Who's going to want to work with a guy who might be gone come mid-October if they get off to a slow start? Nobody.
Well, okay, so here's the question that I would ask you then. Okay. Are you – because there was – I don't know where you stand on the legitimacy of the Five Reasons Sports Network and all that jazz, but they supposedly gave a report that it was – that Gase, at first, he wanted Vic Fangio and Gase – and it was supposedly Ross who shut that down because of some kind of bonus payment he would have to make. Are you buying that at all?
I – by the report, because those guys are right a lot more than they're wrong, and I don't think they've been wrong once since they really started. So that report, I buy, because there's no reason not to buy, because they've been right on almost everything else. So that part I buy.
It just feels weird, though, that it's a money issue.
It does feel weird that money, that's the part that feels weird, that it was a money issue that came from Ross, because Ross pretty much has been an open checkbook since he's been to Miami when it comes to everything, including paying for the stadium upgrades, which are amazing, but he's paid for everything. So why would a payment to an assistant coach matter?
It would be chump change to him.
Exactly.
Like,
he wouldn't even look twice at that. So that part of it, it's odd. But I saw a report today that Vic Fangio there, he's going to get some head coaching offers. So that ship kind of sailed on Gase. I think he'll probably get a head coaching job this offseason, it sounds like. So that would be the guy. I know Tom here from my website, we were speaking the other day. He said John Fox. That is more realistic because, he's a little bit older. B, he's not looking for the next head coaching job. That's possible, I guess, John Fox. Someone like
you
Rex
know what?
Ryan. Rex Ryan's interesting because he can see that as him to get fired. Here's why. He's such a prick. He'd be like, I'll go down there to Miami, wait for him to get fired, and go, Stevie boy, I'm your man. He's that type of guy. So that one wouldn't shock me either.
No, please no.
I know.
Oh, God,
I don't want
him.
I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me.
Well, New York again, so maybe.
True. Big name, big mouth. He would sit there and just wait for Gase to hang himself and be ready to pick up the, hey, I'm your guy, Steve. Let me take over for now. I'll prove it to you. I could totally see that coming a mile away.
You know what? I remember I had said that on Twitter. I'm kind of ashamed to even bring it up, but I had lashed out at some people. Like, I have my own little private message group that I talk with amongst Fin Maniacs, and I was upset and I was angry, and I had said we were actually arguing about the whole Bruce Arians deal. I don't understand what's up with him. Like, why would he say outright, I will only take a Cleveland job? Like, I get the whole, the allure. He's got Baker Mayfield there, and he's got some nice cap space, but why would you limit yourself to only Cleveland? That's basically say, if I can't have Cleveland, I don't want to coach.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand why you would do that. Do you want to coach or don't you?
Yeah, I don't get that either, unless he thinks that the Browns, because they have so much money to spend, that he just thinks that's the spot I want to be in because I can just go buy whatever I want. I don't know. That's weird.
And this is the other thing that I personally it honestly, as crazy as it sounds, because it feels like it should be a no-brainer, this is probably one of the most unrealistic moves I can see the team making, which, again, it shouldn't feel that way, but nevertheless, if I'm the Dolphins, what I am doing is I am firing Gase. Yes, I'm firing Gase. I'm firing Burke. I'm firing all those guys. And I'm sending Tannenbaum over the hill, but Ross isn't going to do that because they're buddies, so that's not going to happen, but whatever. What I would do, dead honest, is I would hire Darren Rizzi to be the head coach. This man is a football coach. He does not have an offensive mind or a defensive mind or some other mind that he supposedly a reputation for that he has to be like, oh, I'm going to coach this because this is what I'm known for, and if I can't do this right, I'm not going to last. He has no ego to hold him back. He can be a football coach. And not only that, what I would do after that is I would hope that would you agree that Todd Bowles got royally screwed during the whole interview thing here in Miami, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I would hope, though, that Rizzi and Bowles don't have an issue with each other.
If Rizzi
called him up and said, listen, I'm the head coach now. Do you want to come be my D coordinator? And I would hope that Bowles would say, you know what, Rizzi, you know, I love you, man. Let's go do it. And maybe that would maybe give him a nice little boost. I don't know what Rizzi would do for offensive coordinator, because
you'd have to find somebody.
There's this guy named Adam Gase who supposedly really loves being an offensive coordinator.
Switch roles, yeah. No, it's not the worst idea, because you know what? The same people who tell you they want John Harbaugh was a special teams coach, okay? John Harbaugh, he wasn't an offensive coordinator. He wasn't a defensive coordinator. He was a special teams coach. He was a football coach. He was a special teams coach. That's what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what he did when he was at Indiana. That's what he did when he was at Cincinnati. He was a football coach, but he was a special teams coordinator first and foremost. So promoting someone like Rizzi, yes, it's unorthodox. But you know what? At this point, what do we got to lose? We've tried everything else. It's like, might as well go with Rizzi. Finding a solid defensive coordinator is really not tough, because it seems like there's a bunch of them out there on the market that can be had. The offensive side of the ball, though, because at some point, I would think, if it's 2019 or 2020, you have to develop a young quarterback, and you got to have the right offensive guy in place for that. So right, that's the
Gase thing I mentioned is a joke. The Gase thing I mentioned is more of a joke than anything.
Oh, I know that.
The Rizzi and the Bowles thing is absolutely, I'm taking at face value. Rizzi is just as much of a leader as Gase is. He's been here longer than anybody. He's respected. The guys like him, even if he does scream and holler a lot, which honestly at this point would seem like an upgrade just because he actually seems to care more. I don't think he's going to be somebody who's going to be stuffing his face in the playbook to make sure that his next set of plays is already set up for when the offense is field next time. He seems like somebody who can be the leader and let the guys who are supposed to do it do their job, but also remain intact and remain involved so that they don't just kind of like be given the go-ahead to do whatever the heck they want with no consequence, looking at you, Matt Burke.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the way, you know what, that's not the worst idea. That's not the worst idea, because I think Rizzi, he has sort of earned it. He has survived every coaching change we've had here.
I am surprised he's been here so long. Yeah, he's considered one of the best coaches. How has he not been picked up? That's what's weirding me out. That's the only reservation I have, is like, if he's supposedly so wonderful, which we all believe he is, how come nobody's even bothered to look at him? Like, he hasn't even been given a second glance.
Well, I know a few years back, and by a few years, it might be longer than I think at this point. I want to say within the past 4 years or so, maybe 5 years, he did get a head coaching interview job with Rutgers. But now, that was a while ago. I mean, it's got to be at least 4 or 5 years ago. But he did get one opportunity to interview with Rutgers. I know that, obviously, he didn't land the job, but he's been on the radar on the college level every like here and there, but not much at all. But at this point, again, would not be the worst move in the world, because I just think heading into 2019, I don't know what needs to be done. I admit, I don't know. But I know status quo ain't working. That's what I do know. Status quo is not working, and there needs to be some sort of shakeup somewhere, whether it's at starting quarterback, whether it's at head coach, whether it's both. I don't know. But there needs to be a shakeup, because to continue to do the same thing and expect a result, we're just not going to get it.
A different result is insanity.
It's insanity. We're not going to get it. And it might not be anybody's fault. It might just be a bad mix, and it's just not working. And sometimes you just got to shake it up. And
how long has it been? Quick question for you. How long has it been since they've been, like, actually good, like almost 20 years?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Okay, how long has it been since pro player / hard rock / whatever has been on the site it's on?
87.
So that's, let's see, a little over 20 years?
30 years.
Okay. Well, I can maybe think of one thing the team can do. Blow up the stadium, build it somewhere else.
Yeah. You want
to see Ross? The burial ground.
Yeah, it's the curse of the burial ground. You want to see Ross have a heart attack. So I know you put up all that money, but we're going to have to blow it up and start over somewhere else. You watch a poor guy have a heart attack on the spot.
But get off the burial ground.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I just think something's got to be done. And I admit, I don't know what it is. It might have to be everybody. It might just need to be one or two things. I don't know. Gase, I said in this podcast, right after the Packers game, if they want to give him a short extension to keep him, I wouldn't be against it. I think he does have a future as coach. But for the love of God, this guy doesn't help his cause any when he speaks to the media. Do the Miami Dolphins have any media coach, media training? Just tell this guy, you're going to be asked about A, B, and C. You're not an idiot. Don't say this stuff. Just talk without saying anything. Just like a politician. Like, never see a politician. Ask you about the economy. Talk about the environment. Just change the subject.
He wants to be Belichick, but he hasn't earned that pedigree. He wants to be the guy who's never questioned. And if you question him, he'll shrug you off and say you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But Belichick is the only coach in the league who can afford to do that. Yeah. That's the problem. And, you know, this is something that I brought up a couple shows ago on my end.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I think Gase has not truly addressed the quarterback position, as in drafting a guy to develop, so to speak, and he keeps doubling down on Tannehill and stuff like that, and never addressing anything like, oh, we're going to bring in somebody who can, like, develop and push and stuff like that. It's because Gase does not want the drama. This is my theory, is that it's not so much that Gase can't handle quarterbacks or Gase isn't good at quarterbacks or stuff like that. I think he doesn't want the drama. You know how it's going to go, man. What is going to happen? The split second that the Dolphins draft a young quarterback, even remotely high, even as high as even the third round, what is going to happen? What are
first
the questions going to be?
First incomplete pass, or the first real game, or the first time he makes a bad throw, Tannehill.
Even in training camp.
It'll be training camp. It'll be a little bit too in the preseason. Come September, 10th or whatever the date is, they're at home playing a team like the Jets. The first pass on 3rd and 8 that sails out of bounds, it's going to be boo, and we want whoever. He will not get more than one real game before those chants start, whoever is behind Tannehill.
Correct. And what's the one that do you see? You see what happens every time Gase winds up getting questioned about stuff like that. He gets defensive. He's getting ready for battle every time.
Yes,
he doesn't want it. He doesn't want the drama. And so he keeps bringing in guys like Brock Osweiler, who he says he can work with, but it's not going to push Tannehill, not even close. David Fales, not going to push Tannehill. Cutler's no good anyway. I don't know why they thought that was going to work.
They had no choice, really, yeah.
But anyway, it's like none of those guys were really going to push Tannehill, because none of those guys can even sniff Tannehill's boots. So it's – but that's the whole point. So when Tannehill comes back, nobody's questioning, well, are you going to let Osweiler stay in or stuff like that? Because, and even then they did ask him, and he got pissed off.
He got mad. Yeah.
He doesn't want the drama. He wants to be left alone to do his thing, and everybody else just go away. I'm in my bubble. I am thinking, I am creating a plan that is going to be so genius that nobody will see it coming, except everybody, because they know it's coming. The drama is part of being a head coach. That's the reality that has not set in for him. He has to learn how to deal with it, not just fire back at people. Belichick lets the drama fall off of him. It doesn't come to him because he can't get caught with it. Gase keeps falling in the same trap over and over again because he's not thinking like a head coach. He's still thinking like an offensive coordinator. Offensive coordinators don't get the pressure that a head coach does, and Gase can't handle it yet.
Yep, and plus he also worked under Nick Saban, so he sees how Nick Saban acts. Nick Saban's won national championship after national championship after national championship. Nick Saban can do whatever the hell he wants, and nobody's going to say nothing to him, and he can yell at the press, and he can be that a-hole to him if he wants, and nobody cares. You can't, and he reminds me, and I wrote an article probably a year ago or so, saying Gase reminds me of Josh McDaniels when Josh McDaniels got his first job with the Broncos, and that he went in there and thought he was, you know, I am the guy, and I'm young, and I'm the guy. He ran off Jay. He ran off Jay Cutler when he was still younger and pretty good at the time. Ran him off. He ran off Marshall. He ran off a bunch of guys, and then the next thing you know, all those guys are gone, and the team stinks, and you're left with a head coach who's in over his head. Adam Gase, we're pretty much in a similar situation. He ran off a bunch of guys. He couldn't coach, and now the team's not winning, and we're stuck with a head coach who might be in over his head. The path of those two guys is so similar, it's scary. It really is scary.
And this is where we come into the conundrum, though. Because, you know, you mentioned all those players that he chased off, right?
Yeah.
What are they doing right now? Jay Ajayi's knees are shot. He can't run the ball.
No.
Landry hasn't done doodly squat much, even with Baker Mayfield, so that's out. Jordan Phillips is Jordan Phillips. He had one good game because that's what happens. He gets angry and he does a really good job and he falls off again. And Ndamukong Suh, well, he's probably the one exception, but that's because he's Ndamukong Suh. He's not somebody you can just shrug off. So, again, it feels like Gase should be justified because the guys he ran off aren't doing nothing. And yet he does stuff like this. So it's like he makes good decisions, but then he makes a bazillion bad decisions. And you're left wondering, well, do you hope that the good eventually outweighs the bad, or do you let the bad continue to punish in the worst way possible? Because every time you get your hopes up, even the slightest, that's when he does something stupid. It's like it's timing. He'll let you believe something's working, and then right at the worst possible moment, it crashes.
I know. It really does.
It takes years off your life. You just don't know what to do now.
Yeah, and I've been following this team. I am 41 years old. I've been following this team my whole life. I've had this website for God knows how many years now. And most of the time, I'm not always right, but I feel like I know what they're going to do next. I know what they should do next. I admit right now, I have no idea what they should do. This is the first time following this team. Like at the end of the years with Shula, you could sort of see he's getting up there. The game's kind of passed him by a little bit. It might be time to move on. And it was. And the same thing even there with Marino. He was getting up there. His arm wasn't quite the same. You could say, okay, we're probably getting towards it, maybe 1 or 2 years. I always had that, this is the next move. And with each coach since, which they haven't been good, you could sort of see when the end was near. This one's tough. I admit, I don't know. And I don't know if they know even what they should do. These last five games are going to be very, very interesting. You got two games against the Bills.
Are they, though?
From a win-loss standpoint,
what do you predict is going to happen? What do you predict is going to happen? Because I can tell you what I'm going to predict.
I think they win. At most, they win two. They probably win one. And it's not from a one loss. Because, look, they're not going to the playoffs. I don't care about that. That's over. That ship sailed after yesterday. They're not going to the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see if these guys show up each week and play hard for Gase. That's what I want to see, number one. If they play hard for him. And number two, what Tannehill does here these final six games, if he can hold up first. First, I got to see if he can hold up because he got hit yesterday a few times. I'm like, Jesus.
He's going to get hit, man. I don't expect him to finish the year. I don't expect him to finish the year.
Me either.
They cannot, will not protect him.
They won't protect him. And so it's interesting to me to see these final five games if Adam Gase does humble himself. I don't think he will. But if he does, by some miracle, he won't. But I want to see if the team plays hard for him, because this upcoming week, they're going to play hard. After that, when they pretty much know they're out of the playoff hunt and they're watching ESPN and they're watching TV and everybody's saying these are teams AFC and they're not talking about Miami, are they going to play hard for a guy? And I don't know. I don't know. We're going to find out a lot about that aspect of it. Because if they
Did they play hard for him last year?
For the most part, yeah. Well, up until the Patriots, well, when they won the Patriots game, yes, clearly they were playing hard for him. After that, they sort of just quit. But yeah,
I had conspiracy theories about those one a year Patriot games.
Yeah,
that.
I know.
I really do. It's like they do that on purpose to make sure that you can't get the good spot.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense. How do the Patriots ball out every year on every team, and then one year they inexplicably suck against Miami?
It's I know.
It's not even subtle. It's not
I don't
even
think
like,
it's
oh,
happen
we'll
this year. It's not going to happen this year, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet you anything that somehow they're – oh, wait, no. Did they already play the two Patriot games?
No, just one.
No, yeah. They still have one more. Okay, yeah.
Still
so
one more.
That's what I'm saying. Eventually, what's going to happen is they're going to play well against New England and win that game, just so they can wind up at like 7-9 or something.
Yeah,
and then
I know.
They have to get another middling pick. Because that's how it works. It
that's
always
how it works.
Happens. Belichick is always four steps ahead of everybody. It's like, I already know I'm going to make the playoffs, so let me just go ahead and pencil this in, make sure they can't get a good draft pick. And it's the ultimate bit of gamesmanship. And there's no rule that says you have to win the game if it means that you've already made the playoffs and it's just going to make it harder for your opposing teams next year. It's like the ultimate bit of gamesmanship, and he's the only one who can afford to do it. It's frustrating beyond belief.
Yeah, and with the five games left, like I said, home against the Bills, I actually think they'll win that one because it's at home. Home against New England, they ain't going to win that one. At the Vikings, they ain't going to win that one. Jacksonville, only because their offense might be as bad as Miami's or worse. That game is a toss-up, so it's in Miami. It's a toss-up.
The quarterback, Cody Kessler?
Yes, that's what it's,
Jacksonville's going to win that game.
They might.
Jacksonville's going to win that game. Miami doesn't like nobody quarterback.
And then the final game is at the Bills. You can pencil this down. December 30th, right before New Year's Eve, when the Miami Dolphins know they're not going to the playoffs and they got to hop a plane to fly up to snowy, cold, frigid Buffalo and play a game that means nothing. And then you got the Bills with a rookie quarterback who just wants to be out there and make a few plays. He'll be all pumped up and excited. They will not win that Week 17 game. You can pencil that in right now as a loss because they are not going to want to. By the time they get one foot on the plane, they're going to be thinking, how soon can we get back on this plane to turn it back around? They are not going to want to be playing that Week 17 game. You can mark that as a loss right now. I think they'll probably win this upcoming week at home against the Bills because it's at home, it's the Bills. They'll probably win one against them. And Jacksonville's a toss-up. So I'm thinking 6-10 when it's all said and done. At best, 7-9, if you want to say at best, that's 7-9. But it's just another year where you're in NFL purgatory. You're going nowhere. Middle of the round one draft pick, probably somewhere, 12, 13, 14, nothing great, nothing, whatever. You're just stuck there. Your head coach, you don't know. Tannehill, you don't know. You have no answers for anything, and you just played a whole year. You have no answers, and you got nothing. And that's what I think it's going to be.
Isn't that sad, man? Just more nothing. More nothing.
More nothing. It's more nothing, Lewis. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the show here. This was a good venting session. We have to do this more often because some days you just got to vent. And this was a good venting session. And it was great having you on. And we do have to do this more often just to vent. Because after days like this past Sunday, you just want to vent. And I'm sure in the off season, we'll probably do something really stupid and we'll have to vent again. So this was good. Everyone, be sure to follow Lewis on Twitter at Lewis D. Sung, and also check out his website, finmaniacs.com. Lewis, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Well, now I better go and update my front page and everything.
You have a good one, Lewis.
All right.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day.
Once again, I would like to thank Lewis Sung from FinManiacs.com for joining me here on the podcast. We'll have Lewis on again down the road for sure. And everyone, be sure to follow Lewis on Twitter at Lewis D. Sung. Great work he does there on social media, on Twitter, and with his website, FinManiacs. So we'll have a podcast every day this week. Antoine Staley will be on this week for his weekly spot. And I'm working on a couple more interviews as well. Just haven't been able to nail down a day and time to record, so we might have a couple more interviews later this week. If not, we will still have shows talking about this week's upcoming game against the Buffalo Bills, of course. Everyone, be sure to check out the main page of the website, DolphinsTalk.com, as we have a bunch of new articles up on our website. We have one from Matt, one from Ryan, and just a bunch of new articles, so check them out. And as always, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, and I'm always putting stuff up on Twitter, and you can interact with me that way. If you want to send me an email, I can be reached via email as well at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Everyone have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.